President Obama is making a renewed call on Congress to pass comprehensive immigration reform. And in this half hour, we'll talk with U.S. Representative Mark Pocan from Madison about his bill that calls for a pathway to citizenship, an overhaul of U.S. visa programs, a strengthening of E-Verify, and a more secure border. And we will welcome your questions for him and your reactions for him about his bill at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We welcome your thoughts on the need for immigration reform. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Tuesday, November 26th. Mark Pocan is a Democratic U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, which includes Madison and most of South Central Wisconsin, and he is co-sponsor of this new comprehensive immigration reform bill. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. And we will talk about the specifics of your bill in a moment. But first, what did you think about what President Obama had to say yesterday in San Francisco about immigration reform?
Well, I think there is a lot. There are a lot of people who are trying to make sure we get this done. This has been the least productive Congress, I think, pretty much in anyone's lifetime, and we are trying to get the important things done. Things like having a budget, things like making sure that we can get dealing with a debt ceiling issue. But one of the top of the list issues, both for the president and I think for many of us in Congress, is getting immigration reform done. If we can have a vote in both houses, we can pass this. So really, it's in many ways up to the speaker to do the right thing and let the members have a vote. And we need to get this done this session.
You know, the president had to deal with, I don't know if I want to call it a heckler, but somebody that someone who interrupted his speech, calling on him to use his executive order powers to get something done. Let's take a listen to the president's response.
The easy way out is to try to yell and pretend like I can do something by violating our laws. And what I'm proposing is the harder path, which is to use our democratic processes to achieve the same goal that you want to achieve, but it won't be as easy as just shouting. It requires us lobbying and getting it done.
Can the president do anything with the executive order to get some things done with comprehensive immigration reform?
Well, there are always pieces you can do, but it's nothing as comprehensive as one of these bills. It's nothing as permanent as a bill like I'm a co-sponsor over, like that passed in the Senate. So, you know, this is clearly the best path for the long run to have a permanent solution, and that's what we're all working towards. And while I understand the impatience in some people, because, you know, if you listen to some members of Congress, you'll think that this is dead, but I don't think this issue is dead at all. I think the fact that leaders in the Republican Party, like Paul Ryan, are still strong advocates. The fact that there's 190 bipartisan sponsors on the bill that I'm a co-sponsor of, the fact that it passed with an overwhelming veto-proof majority in the Senate, I mean, those are all things that tell me we've got momentum.
All right, let's dive in a little bit with this bill that you co-sponsored, known as the Border Security, Economic Opportunity, and Immigration Modernization Act. According to the press release that your office put out, there would be a pathway to citizenship, a reform of U.S. visa programs, a strengthening of E-Verify, and a more secure border. Anything else?
Essentially, to make it even more simple, it's essentially the Senate bill that passed with that big bipartisan vote with a slight change on the border security. It takes the McCall-Thompson border security and puts that in place, which doesn't have the additional $30 billion, what we call border surge. It probably has something that's a little more, we would say, smart, not just tough, on the border. And otherwise, it's essentially what passed with a huge margin in the Senate. And I think that, you know, again, if we had it up for a vote today in the House, it would pass.
Well, so why is it so important to have this pathway to citizenship? And how does your proposal work?
You know, I'll tell you, it's exact. Again, is the Senate the biggest thing? I can tell you two different stories. It might be the best way to describe what's happening. We had a constituent who tried to join the Marines, and when he went to join the Marines, found out he hadn't been born here. His family, he actually was born in Mexico, but had been living here his entire life, and here he is trying to join the Marines and wasn't able to because he found out at that time he wasn't a U.S. citizen. I mean, this is obviously someone who spent their entire life in the United States, didn't even know that they weren't a citizen, was trying to join the armed services to defend our country, and then all of a sudden reached that and had issues when he found out about this. He was in Mexico and couldn't get back. It took him months to get back into the U.S. It's just a flawed system for the many, many people who spent almost their entire lives here as children to adults to make sure they have that citizenship. But secondly, it's also for, I remember when I was in the legislature and Representative Pedro Colon and I used to sit next to each other on the Finance Committee. He had a friend, someone who's a third-generation Wisconsinite who happened to be of Latino descent, who was continually pulled over to see if they were a citizen. And because of this really piecemeal sort of law that we currently have, someone who's a third-generation Wisconsinite is still being checked to see if they are, in fact, a U.S. citizen, which is insulting and wrong on many levels. So when you look at those real-life examples coupled with what it would do for the economy, for Social Security, for people having fair and good working conditions, all the other benefits that you'd have, there are a lot of strong reasons why we need to have immigration reform and why we need to do it now.
But critics say that this pathway to citizenship still rewards people who came to the country or are in the country illegally.
Yeah.
So how is that not amnesty, as they put it?
Yeah, well, sure. Well, many of which, as I just explained, the one person didn't even know because they've been here their entire life since they were a baby. They just happened to have been born somewhere else and then brought here very young before anyone's memory. I mean, if for all practical purposes, that person is an aspiring American who wants to be a citizen, and we need to make sure we have that path. Part of what we're doing with this bill is making sure we're having a strong system in place so that there is the proper amount of verification you have to do in order to be a citizen. I think most of the things that I've heard of that the critics put out there really are more around myths about what immigrants are rather than the reality of the situation of the people that we're trying to fix this for. So this will still have in place very strong ways to make sure that we're protecting our border so that we are just dealing with people who have to do all sorts of things like learning English and all these other steps in order to become that citizen. So it's not like you're instantly saying you are now a citizen. There's a whole procedure they have to go through to do that. There are a lot of people in this country who are doing that. And right now, it's too easy for employers, landlords, et cetera, to take advantage of people simply by threatening to expose them when, again, they've probably spent their entire lives, adult lives, in memory in the United States.
Well, let's take a call from Bernie in Elkhorn on this issue. Bernie, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I always vote for the leftmost candidate on the ballot. So if I were in your district, I'd vote for you, Mark. You're a good man, and I know your heart's in the right place, but I'm one of those progressives who disagrees with the left on this issue. I don't understand this, and I know there's more time required than I have to discuss it, but I believe there are other things that can be done, such as getting rid of NAFTA, ending the drug war, things to make conditions better in places like Mexico. And I just see this as undercutting the low end of the U.S. labor market. And I'm a guy who's in favor of single-payer national health. And I see that countries that have that don't allow people to just walk in.
And Bernie was saying that he opposes the amnesty or pathway to citizenship unless the immigrants were children at the time. So what about undercutting the labor market?
No, and I think he raises very valid concerns. I completely agree with him. What we've done when it comes to trade policy has sent a lot of jobs overseas. What he's saying is if, you know, the market were strong enough in Mexico, people wouldn't be coming to the U.S. And quite honestly, we saw that in the last 5 years when our economy's been down. We've had far less influx of people coming. So that is true, that economic conditions do have a big determining factor of people moving here. What we're dealing with primarily are the folks who've already here for almost their entire lives and trying to make sure that they have that path because they are aspiring Americans and they want to have that citizenship. And, you know, I think when the problems with the labor market, and I think, again, the caller is very much on, you know, the concern people are, is this going to suddenly make it even harder for people to get jobs at a time of a tough economy? But in reality, we're being told all the studies show it won't. In fact, one of the problems is many of these people are already being taken advantage of. So as I was mentioning, they might be threatened by an employer or a landlord that if they don't do this or that, that they're going to somehow turn them in. So they're working for a sub-minimum wage or living in substandards. And again, if we are able to make sure that they have a legal path to citizenship, that employer can't take advantage of them. They have to raise the level of working conditions and wages, and that helps lift the tide for all people, just like when we lift the minimum wage. So I think the caller had very valid concerns, but I think studies have shown that while we may be worried about those anecdotally, that the studies have said it'll actually have a different effect on the overall economy, which will be good for everyone. That rising tide will lift all boats.
We are talking with Congressman Mark Pocan. He is a Democratic U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, and he is co-sponsor of a comprehensive immigration reform bill. And we welcome your questions for him about comprehensive immigration reform. How hopeful are you that something along these lines will get done in Congress in the near future? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Should Congress pass comprehensive immigration reform, or do you support a step-by-step process instead? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 11 minutes before 8 on this Tuesday, November 26th. We are talking with Democratic U.S. Representative Mark Pocan about immigration reform, and we are welcoming your questions for him, your reactions for him, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. President Obama yesterday making a fresh call to Congress to pass comprehensive immigration reform. Jan in Appleton emails, "We have plenty of immigration laws currently in effect. Why is the administration not enforcing them right now? What is the point of laws if the administration is going to pick and choose which ones they are going to enforce? Perhaps we could model any immigration reform in our country on other countries which have a point system for immigrants." A reaction to that, Congressman Pocan.
Sure. You know, I think I just want to remind everyone that, you know, we're a nation of immigrants. So we have to remember that first and foremost, that's why we're here as a country. But what we need to do, currently the system doesn't really allow for that path to citizenship for enough aspiring Americans. We're not keeping families together that would like to be kept together. We're not offering hardworking immigrants that earned path to citizenship that's in the bill. It's an earned path. And that we have to make sure that workers are treated fairly. And right now, those aren't happening under the current set of laws. So the system is broken. It's not just the enforcement of the system that's broken, but it's actually the rules in place aren't working. So we need to have that comprehensive reform. That's why it's a bipartisan issue. That's why I think 63% of the public supports it, including 60% of Republicans support having a comprehensive immigration reform. But it's not amnesty because it's a very long process. In fact, one of the complaints probably from the very people that were heckling the president was that it's too long of a process. So that's part of the compromise we could come to make sure that we could have something in place that really does look at all aspects from border security to making sure that people who really want to become Americans have that path.
Let's go to John in Kenosha next. Hello, John.
Hello. Yeah, I have a question about, I know we've mainly been talking about immigration reform for just making these illegals a legal citizen, but what about controlling our borders? I mean, 60 miles of the Arizona border, the government is putting signs up telling American citizens, don't come here because this part of our country is controlled by the cartel. I mean, how are we going to stop this? What are you going to do about that?
Sure. Let me answer it two different ways. The first part is that's part of the bill, is to have better border security, to make sure that we have metrics in place so we know we're actually measuring this, which we're not doing well right now, to make sure that we're doing everything we can to stop illegal immigration into the U.S. That's why we need a legal system in place. So one, the bill does that. It does address border security, and that's one of the main provisions, one of the real three legs of the stool, so to say, on the bill. But secondly is, I think the caller brings up another valid point. You know, our drug wars in many ways have had some failure. And when we are literally telling people to avoid complete areas because of cartels taking over because of our drug laws, that's probably another concern we need to address. But I think first and foremost, let's have a sensible plan in place that protects our borders, but also has a path for citizenship for those aspiring Americans so we can keep the families together and make sure workers are treated fairly.
Thank you, John. Nick in Marshfield is with us now. Hi, Nick.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about why this place of birth is such a major issue in this country. My wife and daughter, they're both U.S. citizens by choice, and no one has a choice as to where they are born. But because of our agreement between the Department of State and Colombia, they have their place of birth written on their U.S. passports. We still have to maintain their citizenship against the will of my wife and the will of my stepdaughter to visit their family in Colombia. And it's because their place of birth in Colombia is on their U.S. passports. So this puts us through an extra extreme because there's only three consulates here in the United States to where we can get these passports. They're very expensive, and they have to maintain two passports. And I wonder why this has got to be this way. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can tell you that's one of the things that we're trying to deal with. It's probably not going to be a direct answer to your situation with your family going back into Colombia, but I can tell you one of the problems that we have in a large number of these folks are folks who've come here when they were a baby, 1 year old, 2 years old. All they know is the United States. And as I explained, my constituent, not only does all they know is the United States, they actually thought they were a citizen, and they were trying to join the Marines to serve our country and only found out when they were in Mexico that they weren't citizens and then had a hard time getting back. So the place of birth is clearly one of the issues with this population where, for all practical purposes, they are going to U.S. schools, they're living in the U.S., they speak English. The only thing is, because of their place of birth, they're not a citizen, and that's why, again, we're trying to have a path created that provides for that legal opportunity for those people to become citizens.
Thank you, Nick. We had a caller who had a scratchy cell phone, and it was hard to hear, but wanted to know, how does comprehensive immigration reform benefit the United States if the immigrants, for example, can't speak English and need a lot of support to be successful?
Well, for one, I mean, again, that's part of the provisions to become a citizen. There are things that people have to do, of which learning English is a key component. So, you know, you will have that. What we're told is that over the next 10 years, if we had legal immigration, we would boost the U.S. Gross domestic product by $1.4 trillion. We would increase income for Americans by $791 billion. We would add 2 million jobs to the U.S. economy. It puts money into Social Security, a strong amount that helps keep that alive. It does a whole lot of things by recognizing that these, in many cases, people are already here working, but they're doing it in ways that aren't legal, therefore they're not paying into the system. And this is an opportunity, one, to actually give these people fair working conditions and keep their families together, but also it helps the economy in a whole bunch of different ways that have been proven by a number of studies. So I think there's a big reason why, including our Congressional Budget Office, has said if we did this, we would provide a boost to the economy. And that is good for everyone, especially at a time that we are still struggling to come out of what we hit a few years ago.
Marilyn in Janesville, hi, you're on the air. Marilyn wanted to know, why don't we do this one piece at a time and starting with enforcing border security? That's the most important thing to her.
Yeah, the problem problem, you know, if you look at pretty much anything Congress does these days, it's not real effective. We said, let's do sequester because it'll absolutely make us do something different next year that makes sense. And what happened? The deadline came, and now we have the sequester in place for 10 years that everyone seems to hate. If you do it in pieces, there's no guarantee you're going to get that next piece. So if you do it comprehensively, which is what the American public wants, we can see it in polling, you do it all at once. So while you're protecting the border, you're also creating the path to citizenship. You're also dealing with all aspects that we need to around visas and everything else. So by doing it in that way, we can make sure that, one, we are getting those very border protections that we all agree that we need, but we're also making sure that the second part of it happens, because if all we do is just put bigger and tougher borders up and then don't provide that legal path to citizenship, that means families still aren't together. That means people are still not having good working conditions. It means that people who want to be Americans still don't have that path. By doing it in a comprehensive way, we can best address it, and we can do it in a single attempt rather than in pieces in a Congress that doesn't get very much done.
In our final moments here, are you optimistic or pessimistic that this will get done?
Well, you know, pretty much any bill you would say to me, I would have to say I'm mildly pessimistic because this Congress simply hasn't worked. However, when it comes to immigration reform, the fact that it had such strong bipartisan support in the Senate, the fact that we have over 190 sponsors in the House, the fact that people like Paul Ryan, a leader in the Republican Party, still are strong advocates for it, the president said it's one of his priorities, there is enough behind it that if we can just get it a vote before Congress, we can get it passed. And I think there is enough there that if it isn't the Tea Party once again shutting us down in a different way, whether it be actually shutting down government for real or shutting down the process to pass bills, I think we can get something done.
A quick question on the news of the weekend, the deal with Iran over its nuclear program. Mm-hmm. It's temporary. It slows down Iran's nuclear development while lifting sanctions or certain sanctions. Israel is not happy with it. What do you think? And I'm sorry, we just have a minute.
Sure. I think as long as we are having very thorough monitoring to make sure that Iran is actually doing what they're supposed to, because in the past they haven't when they've gotten to this point, you know, it makes sense. You know, we need to have peace in that region. This is a key component of that peace. But if for any reason we think that they're moving towards having a nuclear weapon, we have to act in a different way. We have to go back to the strong sanctions because it is not good in our interest or Israel or the Middle East interest for Iran to have a nuclear weapon.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Sure, thank you.
Mark Pocan, Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Christy Taylor for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.